Welcome to the Long Shot Podcast. Ooh, boop, 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 boop. It once was recorded hot in a location high in the Hollywood Hills. What was the line? Anyway, I am your host, Amber Kenny, along with, as always, my co-host, Sean Conroy.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I swear to God, like, I am so out of it right now. I didn't really get a lot of sleep last night.
Oh, no.
I was running around today, and I had that thing happen right before this where I was like, okay, I have half an hour before we're going to record, so I'm going to take a 15-minute nap, and I won't go that deep asleep, and I'll be – so I set my – you know, on my phone, there's a thing where you can go in and like
an alarm.
Yeah. Like it's not an alarm.
Some
like an alarm
cultures clock. Call it that. Yeah.
Well, an alarm clock is like you set a time
and it's got bells
and it goes off. But this is like you set a countdown. So it goes from 15 to 1459 to 1458. And then at the end, anyway, it went off and I had that thing happen where I did not know where I was. I didn't know what time it was. I knew I was supposed to be somewhere. I didn't know where. Like, that's the kind of.
The sign of a good nap, but not a great headspace to do.
Well, and also it was only 15 minutes. Like, if I had 45 minutes, I think I would have felt more comfortable. But since it was only 15 minutes, I was like, okay, that was just a tease. That doesn't even count, you know.
How come you couldn't sleep last night, or do you not want to get into it?
No.
Okay, great. Thanks for joining us. All right. Well, we like to start our show, as always, with a segment we like to call Checking In. Mm-hmm. And today we will start checking in with myself.
Oh, a surprise twist.
Melting.
Oh my God, it's so hot. I slept somewhere else last night and I parked my car on the street, and where I was there's like you have to move your car every 2 hours after 8 o'clock in the morning, except where I was parked. So like there's just lots of there's fucking rules everywhere in this society, you know. But so I it was part and there it was in the sun, and I came out this morning later than usual, like 11:30 or so. It was like 400 degrees inside the car. Like I opened it and it was like I was Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego walking into the oven. Anyway, it was hot today.
It was hot.
My car is not great with the AC. I will say that. It's very comfortable. I have this Buick LaCrosse, which is the next edition after the Buick Field Hockey.
Yeah, we all saw that coming.
I don't know if Field Hockey was the specific you saw coming. But anyway, the AC is not good. So it's very hot. Yes.
Yes, it's hot.
We're starting with Amber. Go ahead.
Yes, but guess where it is actually even hotter than here?
I'm just gonna guess, and I'm gonna say, you know, Las Vegas.
Las Vegas was hotter than here. I was there. I spent the weekend in Las Vegas. I went to the Beyonce concert with Tess and her two friends, Sarah and Nico, Saturday night, and it's a hot one. It was legitimately 10 degrees hotter than it is here, and it is very hot here.
It's 100 degrees here, at least.
Yeah, yeah.
Or more. So it was
past
10. It was 200 degrees.
Yes, yes, exactly.
As we talked about last week.
But, we flew in Saturday morning. Tess and I. We took.
Fancy.
Yes, so fancy. And, Tess's dad picked us up from the airport because he actually lives in Las Vegas, and that was really sweet of him. And he took us to our hotel, and the plan was, okay, we're going to get to our hotel. We're going to do some pool time at the hotel. Then we're going to get ready for the
glam up.
Mm-hmm. We're going to get ready for the show. We're going to meet her two friends for dinner. And then we're going to go to the concert. Bingo bongo.
So you schedule all that. You schedule the pool time, the glam up, the meet up, the dinner, then go to the concert. How much time for each of those segments?
Well, that's what it was. We both were like, I cannot wait to just be at the concert, because we were so sick of being like, okay, if we want to be there by 6:45, mm-hmm. and then like we're acting backwards, it's going to take a little while to walk.
It always takes me 45 minutes to put on my lashes.
Well, and as we were like waiting for our flight on the way there, we were like, I don't love the outfit I have. And she was, and we were like, well, maybe if we see a store. And then she was like, I didn't bring any like edibles. I didn't bring any weed gummies.
Oh, Jesus, who travels without edibles?
So she was like, there's a great store in Las Vegas. Like, maybe we could do that. And we were just like adding all of these chores that I was like, I think we might need to be a little bit realistic about the fact that we won't have the time to do all of this and have a good time. It will be stressful.
You don't want to just be scrambling around the whole time, getting edibles for the Beyonce concert.
Well, and Las Vegas is, have you ever been there?
I have never been to Las Vegas.
Yeah, that makes sense. I can't picture you in Las Vegas.
I don't know what that means. That makes sense. I'm like, is that, I feel like that should be good. But
well, I feel like you would just walk around aggravated by everything.
Yeah, but how is that different from anywhere else, honestly?
Because it's just, everything is cranked to 11. Like, mm-hmm. Tess's good friend, Sarah, it was her first time being in Las Vegas. And she was like, this is the most unserious, the goofiest, silliest architecture I've ever seen in my life. Like, what is this town? But it is set up.
I like unserious architecture as a knock on a place. Totally. It feels like the architects were just fucking around. They were just like, let's have a laugh and build a thing.
But it's set up in a way where even if things are close, they are far.
Gary, knock, knock. Who's there? Blueprints.
what I mean is, you might see like, oh, that is
Paris,
the establishment we want to go to. Yeah, mm-hmm. Paris is one of the hotels. That mm-hmm. is Paris. I can see it. It looks walking distance, but it might like
it's a mirage, which is also one of the hotels we wanted to go to.
Well, and to mitigate the traffic being horrific, even though it already is, pedestrians don't cross the street. They go up escalators and like walk over bridges and then go back down escalators. So there's times that it's just like, you need to go there, but it's so many like stairs and walkways mm-hmm. and you're like, oh no, now we're on the wrong side of it. Like it's a complicated place.
I got a good one for you, Gary. What if we just put escalators over the road instead of tunnels underneath? You know, I think you're losing your sense of humor. I really do. I don't find that amusing.
So we decided to not go shopping for outfits and to not go shopping for edibles. And
you're just crossing things off the list.
And to ask Sarah and Nico to get
us some edibles and some clothes, or we can't go to the concert.
Yes.
We're in our hotel room. We have no clothes and no edibles.
Yes. Yes. And so now our chores are down to the pool, getting glam, and getting to the restaurant, which we did recon. It was at the hotel next to our hotel. So it takes some while to get there. Well, that's the other thing. So even if you're like, again, casinos are designed in a way to trap people and trick them into never leaving. Mm-hmm. So if you're like, oh, the restaurant we want to go to is in the hotel next door. Great.
See you in 11 days.
Well, you, even if you get to the hotel quickly, great. Where is it inside the casino? Like, who knows? You have to walk.
This is forever. What happened to the Donner yeah. party. They yeah. got lost in the Paris Hotel.
Yes. My life is very similar.
They ended up eating each other. I hope that's not where this is going. Look, we didn't get edibles, but guess what? You're it.
So we were like, great. We're just checking in. We're changing into our bathing suits. We're hitting the pool for like exactly 1 hour. We're getting ready. We're going to be at the restaurant. This is doable. We check in and we're like, said something about the pool. Oh, because as we drove up to our hotel, it was like notable. It had a gorgeous, gorgeous rooftop pool that you can see from the street. So it was like, bingo, bongo, let's do this. We were staying in a smaller hotel.
Sorry, I like how you can see the rooftop pool from the street. Like, okay, what about this? What if we put the roof below the hotel so people can see the pool? So it's a rooftop, but it's underneath the hotel. We are killing it in the unserious architecture game.
They are silly. Yeah. But yeah, we stayed at a smaller hotel, which made it nice because there was less walking 10 miles within the casino before you got anywhere else. Mm-hmm. And so we're like, great, we'll go to that pool. We can see that it exists. And the woman, when we said something about the pool, and the woman's like, oh, the pool upstairs is just a club. You can't go there just to swim. You can go there if you pay the entrance fee, which is like $65. And it would
No. This is Vegas. The pool is not for swimming. We don't swim in pools here. We club in them. The pool is for clubbing. The club. You want to go swimming, go to the club.
We're silly. We're a silly town. But she's like, but you can either go to Caesar's Palace or the Flamingo and go swimming. And we were like, okay.
That's why we're staying here. You right. understand that, right? Look, the guy who designed this hotel wore a clown nose and giant shoes because he was so silly. So if you want to swim, go to another hotel and stay here.
So we were like, we will do that. But it's just like, why does everything have to be so hard? We just want to go to the swimming pool.
I would have punched the dais while we were talking to that person if I was there. So your call on Vegas. I would have been like, what the fuck are you talking about?
This is, I called it right. Like, yes. I know you and I know
yes.
Vegas. So we're like, but we're committed because now we have like a long enough, like we can't just sit in the hotel.
We should have crossed pool off the list and gone to an edibles. But it's not, this is all we have on the list. We got to go to the other hotel.
So we go upstairs. We love our hotel. We love our hotel room. Very cute. We're super excited. We put on our bathing suits and we're like, okay, let's do this. And just like, I think for everyone, but I will use I statements, like my anxiety shows up a lot in just like, I don't know exactly what door to go into, or like, I'm always more comfortable going to a place the second time. And Vegas is like intentionally confusing. So I was like, okay, let's go have fun.
You just
the
open
pool.
A door.
My muscles are tense.
You open a door and you see yourself coming the other way. You guys just make eye contact for a second and you just slam the door and go, this is not the way. Let's go the other way.
So we got in our bathing suits. We headed down. Oh, also, I was like, that was another thing on the list. I forgot. We were like, we need to eat something now because we want to still be hungry for dinner. But we also don't want to like go into a low blood sugar bad place situation.
God, this sounds so fun. This is like climbing Everest. It's like we got to get there, set up base camp, then we're going to go to camp one.
I'm telling you, we were talking logistics 24. I was like, I cannot wait till we are just sitting at Beyonce. Like, but, like the planning is the fun of it, but it's like, because anytime someone would have a new idea, it's like, okay, that changes every other plan, but okay.
Are we doing Vegas without oxygen?
So we were like, this is what we're going to do. Because we even like thought like maybe we should do other things. And we're like, no, we'll go right to the pool, order food at the pool. Then we're getting pool time lunch. We're really crossing things off, Liz. So efficient. And we're having a good time.
I will say it is, I don't know. I mean, I have heard conventional wisdom is the best place to get lunch food is at pools. You're supposed to eat before you go swimming, right? That's the whole point. Let's go to the pool for some lunch. And then we'll go to the diner for some swimming. No swimming at the diner, only at the club.
So also, like, I find it very disorienting. I will just continue to use I statements, but I also think it's just facts. So, like, casinos are, like, dark and cold.
Well, you're not supposed to know what time it is in a casino, right?
But then you open the door to, like, like the brightest.
It's always, like, 11:30 a.m., 400 degrees outside.
And it's, like, just... there's nothing to absorb light. Like, they're like, let's design our city white.
I think Dan is the silliest. We're in the desert. Why would we make everything white to reflect that light back? You nailed it, Dan.
So we are like, we're going to the pool. And open the door. It is literally 170.
This is when you're
outside.
Leaving your hotel to go to another hotel. Yes, and you guys are in bathing suits at this point. Yes. And you're walking. Like, do you have flip-flops on? They paint a picture.
Yes, I have flip-flops on. I have a bathing suit on. I put shorts on.
Do you have, like, a towel in your teeth? Like, you're carrying, like, a chair and a... And a...
They give you towels.
Oh, okay. Okay. I don't know how... I don't know how hotels work.
Well, I was going to wear, like, a... I can't believe we're getting so in the weeds on just this... like first hour in Vegas, but I was going to wear like a pool cover up that was a dress, but I was like, then I won't have pockets and I have to pay for lunch and like have my phone to know what time it is. Right. So I put on jean shorts and my bathing suit and flip flops and just like stuffed my like credit card and my phone in there. And
I am never, ever going to Vegas.
And, I bought this bathing suit in December because someone recommended it.
Well, it's bathing suit season, December.
Yes, and I haven't worn it since. Can I tell you one of the tragedies of my life right now?
One of the what?
Tragedies of my life.
Oh, okay.
Well, we aren't at the end of the story yet.
Right.
But
this is where stories get weird. Like, do you flash forward? Do you flash back? You don't want to spoil it? Yeah.
At this point in the story, I have not gone swimming in the year 2023 in an ocean or a pool. That's tragic for me. That is not how I choose to live my life.
You
normally
love to swim.
I've made some poor choices along the way. I don't know what's going on. So I'm in a bathing suit. The point is, I'm in a bathing suit I've never worn before. And I think it's the kind of thing where you'd like try it on in your bedroom and you're like, yeah, it's a bathing suit. Who cares? But it's the only bathing suit I brought. Mm-hmm. And I put it on in Vegas and I'm like, my boobs are falling out. So I'm fully walking around Vegas just this close to topless.
I might go to Vegas after all. I don't know.
But that is the nice thing about Vegas is like.
No one cares. Yeah. Like,
yeah, I wasn't the craziest person.
Yeah. You faded into the crowd because your boobs were hanging out.
But it was another layer of vulnerability is what I'm saying. So
right. You're not a person who does that on a regular basis, it seems to me.
Yes.
This is why I always, whenever I buy a bathing suit, before I buy it, I'm like, can I take this on a fishing expedition in one of the seven seas? I don't care which one, but do you mind if I try it out?
Oh, yeah.
That way I know. And for me, it's not, I don't care. It's like, boobs out, I don't care. But when my dick is hanging out of the bathing suit, I'm
like, it's against the law a lot of the time. Yeah.
Not all the time.
So I'm toggling around. Oh, also, we're really getting the weeds here, but I have a pair of jean shorts that I like that are comfortable, and I have a pair of jean shorts that aren't as comfortable.
I'm going to take a guess as to which ones you accidentally brought.
No, I have been wearing the comfortable ones too much. And I I feel like it's gross to travel with dirty shorts. So I'm going to do it. And I was like, it's Vegas. They're a little bit tighter. It's going to work. So I'm just
who cares? There's a pool in our hotel. We're going to go swimming when we get there.
We'll just go up the elevator. Like, I'm not going to be on a public street at all.
We'll just go up the elevator to the pool you can see from the street down below. I'm bringing the shitty jean shorts. This is going to be a blast.
So yeah, I'm wearing a bathing suit. It's a one piece, but it's like very low cut and like too tight of shorts in a way that it's just not comfortable. Like I'm not loving life. And my flip flops. And I am hungry. Here's the thing about Tess is I think she's someone who just like forgets to eat and like must be nice.
Yeah.
Very thin. I am not in that camp.
I haven't had a bite since 1973.
but she was like, she agreed because we needed to have something in our stomach. She's like, yeah, we definitely need to eat.
Well, especially because you guys, when you get all fucked up on edibles in a little while.
Yes. So I was like, we need to eat. We do this journey through Little Caesars.
Mm-hmm. Pizza.
I told the story to Jeff too. It's Caesar's Palace. But it's funny that we're walking.
We're staying at Little Caesars. I'm sorry to tell you. We're going to be.
It's a pool of that gross, like, cheese dip.
Ugh. I don't know that I've had Little Caesars more than once or twice in my life, and I still remember it as one of the worst experiences I've ever had.
Oh, wow.
By the way, today's episode is sponsored by Domino's.
You've had a great life if that is one of the worst experiences of your life.
Oh, it's been great.
So, anyway.
You're not in a good place.
And I'm making a meal out of this. But it's not easy. Like, you'd think also they'd be like, go this way for the pool. But you have to be like, am I going the right? Anyway, we get there. And at the door, they're like, room key? I was like, oh, no. So I was like, yes, we are staying at a different hotel, but they told us to come to this hotel and this is the room key. And they were like, yeah, that room key works here. And I was like, oh, okay. But like, I was like, this is what I mean. Like, you wouldn't like all of the, nothing's easy. Nothing's easy in Vegas. We get there and it is so gaudy. It is the gaudiest pool area in the history of the universe. Maybe I'll find some pictures and send them your way, because it's like Roman statues everywhere and fountains, but also a pool. Spectacular. And I get why it's hard to get.
It's just like ancient Rome.
Yes. I get why it's hard to get to, because it is completely invisible from the outside world, unlike the other pool, because all of the different Caesar's Palace towers completely encase it.
Hadrian's Wall.
Sure.
Oof.
Yeah. We'll see. Just came back from Vegas. I'm like, I'm going right to the bar snack area place. You do what you will. And I ordered like a Greek salad. And they wanted.
Yeah, that's what you want to get at a Roman place. It's a Greek salad.
Well, they did ask. They're like, do you want ranch or balsamic with that? I was like, What is going on?
Welcome to Athens. We have the best ranch dressing in the world.
And then Tess, I'm fully just throwing her under the bus. Because she was like, yes, we definitely
good. She's need not to- here. Let's fucking.
She's like, we definitely need to eat. Okay. Uh-huh. She was on my side and she's like, I'll have a cup of watermelon. I was like, perfect.
That'll sustain me for 11 days.
And so we just, we sat at the edge of the pool, like eating, like we did it. We're at the pool. We're having a good time.
This salad is so Greek. I love it.
And then, of course, the lifeguard was like, you guys can't sit here. And we're like, of course we can.
but why couldn't you sit there?
We were on the stairs. It was like the exit entrance.
Oh,
so we found another like part of the pool to just have our feet in.
Yeah, and I would be losing my fucking...
I know. And
oh, really? I can't sit here? It looks like I am, so I think I can.
I just gave you $1 million for a disgusting Greek salad.
Oh, I'd be furious.
But Tess and I are both... We like having fun and we like being optimistic. So both of us are like, this is going great. Are you doing...
Are you? Because I know people like this, and I won't mention any names, but are you one of those people who's like, this is so fun. Aren't we having a good time? This is really a good time.
I am. But guess what? I am having fun a lot.
No, I'm fine with you having fun, but what I get fucked up about is when people
are like someone like forcing the narrative.
Like, isn't this great? Aren't you so glad we did this? Like, don't impose your own neuroses on me because I have my own.
Plenty. Yeah, you're doing just fine.
Yes.
But we stayed at the pool like an hour. I never got my hair wet because that was the other thing. Is I was like, that will really cut into my getting ready time if I have to wash chlorine out of my hair. And then we walked back to our hotel, now wet in uncomfortable clothes. And
how far was it?
It's like a 10-minute walk.
Jesus Christ.
Which is very close in Vegas terms.
Mm-hmm.
But as we're walking, we're like, you know what we should do? We should just grab some like fun coffee drinks to sip on while we're getting ready. So we're like nice and energized for the rest of the night. Great idea.
Sorry. This Starbucks is a private club.
Right? Oh my God. Where did you go? I like clicked on something and you disappeared.
I'm still here. I can still hear you. Yeah, yeah.
Okay, I can't see me, but that might be better.
Boy, I'm glad I can see me. I look great.
So let me see. Where is my meeting? Where are you, my friend? Anyway, so we decide to get coffees. There's a coffee shop right as soon as we enter our hotel. So we decided to do that.
There's a coffee shop in your hotel, but it's only for people who are staying at Caesar's Palace.
Right. You have to show a room key. Mm-hmm. But there wasn't even really a line. There was one person in front of us, like, great. So we order our, like, two coffees. We grab a bunch of waters because it's so hot and so dry. Mm-hmm. And for them to make it, I mean, we were there probably 35 minutes.
Jesus.
Them making those coffees. It wasn't.
Were they like, was it like a macadamia nut almond surprise oat brand?
No, I got an iced coffee. Yeah.
I don't get it, man.
So then we take those, we go up to our room. Our getting ready time has been cut quite short, but I can get ready pretty quickly. I can also get like, I can take a long time and like, indulge.
Oh, me too. I could do it in like 3 minutes or I could take 4 hours.
Yeah, me too. And I had purposely sort of, this is so boring, but I'd put my hair in like two buns with clips the whole time.
So
I was
you could just undo them and be like,
yes,
I'm ready.
Exactly. I was like doing my hair while we were at the pool because it was also so hot that it was like almost heat styling it. So we got ready and... trying to think. Oh, also, like, stone cold sober. I'm not drinking. And
oh, we're a sober podcast at this point. Don't right, forget. Right.
And we don't have any weed yet. So it's also just weird to be in Vegas this long, like, clear-eyed. It's not how God intended it.
Right. Yeah, I would expect, because I have never been to Vegas, but I've been in New Orleans a couple of times. I feel like the first time I went to New Orleans, I was like, oh, yeah, we got to get one of these things. And it was like some drink and a hand grenade. And it was like one of those. And I was about to pass out, you know, like, and I'm assuming Vegas is the same way, that everybody just goes there and is like, let's get fucked up.
Yeah. So we
got
ready
to be around when you're sober.
Yeah. I mean, I knew what I was getting into. Yeah. I was a little bit like, sure, like, will I be tempted? Like, what will this weekend bring? Mm-hmm. And then we went to dinner at Nobu. Have you heard of Nobu?
I've heard of Yes Boo. So dumb. Yes, fancy,
it's,
right?
It's fancy, like a fancy sushi restaurant that like celebrities go to. So I was like, okay, like normally when I was excited about this Vegas trip for this kind of reason, because there's sort of two, well, there's probably more than two Vegases, but there's at least two Vegases, and you can do just like dirty, scuzzy, hole in the wall piece of shit places, or you can do like really fine dining and like baller, crazy. It's expensive, but it's like,
good.
It's not the expensive stuff's better. Turns out. Oops.
Well, you get what you pay for is what I've heard, you know?
Sometimes, yeah. So, yeah, they had made the
plan. Not every place makes as good of a Greek salad as the one you paid $1 million for at Caesar's Palace.
At Little Caesar's Palace.
Did you get ranch dressing?
I did not. Okay. I've opted for balsamic. But also, it was like, whatever. It was like in a plastic thing, and then they're like, here's the dressing, here's the cheese toppings, here's the
mixed
feta.
Up. Yeah.
And, no, but also like no tray. So I'm just like, okay, let's go to the pool. Like, I'm in the most uncomfortable shorts of all time.
I'm sorry, but the tray was not invented until 564. So it was not part of the Roman Empire.
Right. Everything else is dead on accurate. But Nobu was great. We met her friends there. It was crazy delicious.
Very expensive.
Yeah. But I mean, like, but if you know it going in, like, I also wasn't buying drinks all night. So it felt.
That makes a big difference.
Yeah. and. Oh, we did want to get the party started. So Sarah brought some edibles, and we just ate them in the middle of the table at Nobu, and I was like, okay, all right, let's do this. And
don't we have to go some secret place?
Well, okay, here's the other thing. So Sarah brought those edibles in a fanny pack, and we were all like, cool, you know, you can't bring that into the stadium to see Beyonce, right? And she's like, what? Because now you have to have either a clear bag or a bag that's like this big.
Right.
No. And so we were like, not a problem. Our hotel, not Sarah and Nico. No, it is not on the way.
Oh.
But it is next door to the restaurant, at least. So we can go drop off the fanny pack, smoke a bowl, get a cab, and go to the concert.
Our hotel is right there. You can see the roof if you look down at the street.
And but again, like already, like this is what I mean. Like we had all these logistics of like, great, we'll get a car right out of Nobu. And we're like, okay, so this is okay. We got more. We've got different logistics.
Straight out of Nobu. Another motherfucker with sushi.
But that all went well, and we were waiting. We were either going to get a Lyft, a cab, or a private car. Mm-hmm. And we asked like the bellman, like, "What do you recommend?" And he was like, "A private car is only $75, and like that's how much the Lyfts would be." And so we're like, "Let's do it!" So we got like our own SUV, and this guy was a superhero. Like, I wasn't paying attention extremely closely to how he was driving because I think it would have given me a complete anxiety attack. Mm-hmm. But he was doing crazy, like weaving in and out, like going through lines that, like, there was like a turning lane line and he just went through it to go to the street beyond the turn lane mm-hmm. to get us as close to the concert as humanly possible in a short.
The road signs and road rules are totally optional. Always.
It was absolutely insane, but we got there with plenty of time. We go through security.
My favorite of everything.
Yes. And Tess, again, the whole time has been like, Sarah, you can't have that fanny pack. You have to have like a wristlet like mine. And we go through security and they tell Tess that her wristlet is too big.
Yeah, come on, lady. Put it in that lady's fanny pack.
So the options were we could like walk to a place to check the bag across the street. And you know how close across the street is in Las Vegas. Mm-hmm. Or she could just ditch the bag. And so
pile of 500 bags that was next to the security thing.
Right. And also it's like a crowd of people. We are truly in the middle of the four of us are standing like on either side of us are the tables where they check bags. And in front of us are the like metal detectors and mm-hmm. the line. Like we're in the middle of the chaos deciding like, what do we do? How do we go about this? And it turns out it wasn't just Tess's wristlet that she decided to bring for this concert. It is her wallet. It has every important piece of card, anything that she would ever have. And, so we were like, okay, we're high, they're drunk. Let's organize your life real quick and see what you need and don't need. And it was a high stress situation, but we did it. And I had a purse that was this big. Mm-hmm. This happened also at Taylor Swift, where I'm like, I love just having nothing on me. I want like my phone and my credit card. I don't want to be bogged down by things. Right. And then everyone was like, can I put this in your purse? Can I put this in your purse? And by the end of Taylor Swift, I was like, I can't even unzip my purse. So that's why I didn't take any pictures. It was too hard to take my phone out. It happened again. So all of Tess's belongings, it was like Mary Poppins purse. All of Tess's belongings went into my purse. We figured it out. We went through security. We made it there with plenty of time. Because we also had this false sense of urgency because we thought Beyonce was like hitting the stage any minute. Mm-hmm. It was fine. We got to our seats with plenty of time, but yeah, we went to merch on the way to our seats. We didn't talk amongst each other and we all bought the same exact t-shirt. And so after the concert, we walked around Las Vegas like we were in the same camp friends. which I loved. I thought that was really fun. The concert itself was great. It's Beyonce. She's beautiful, amazing, perfect.
You've seen her incredible. A number of times.
Yeah, I've seen her with this exact group of people 8 years ago. Mm-hmm. So we joke that like Nico and Sarah, I only hang out with them at Beyonce.
Mm-hmm. You guys are the every 8 years Bay Hive.
Yes, 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 yes. And yeah, it was great. We walked Las Vegas. We wanted to show Sarah the Bellagio fountain. We got there at like 2 a.m. They weren't on. And they're like, yeah, it closes at midnight. We're like, no.
Closes at midnight. So all you have to do is go up those stairs, across that bridge, down the other side, then take the escalator up to the other thing, then go down to the roof where the pool
is. Yes. It couldn't be simpler. Mm-hmm. I was wearing these really dumb shoes that were like platformy heels. The reason that they're platforms is they don't feel like heels. They're closer to flat, so they're comfortable all night, but zero grip. I didn't think about that. It was like walking on two ice cubes, you know, like, so I only fell completely on my ass once. And that's pretty good because we're talking 5 p.m. to 5 a.m. So that's, I'm doing
right. And also, you're like, you got these shoes on and you're walking around in very uncomfortable shorts and a bathing suit.
Oh, I took those off.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, it was a great.
So you were just there overnight?
Yeah, we left. Then we had like brunch together as a foursome, and then we went to the airport. Tess also is someone who cuts it close to flight time.
Yeah,
and I am not.
Bad combination.
And so, like, our flight was at 2:00, and we didn't leave for the airport until 1:00. And I was like absolutely freaking out because I was like, if there's a problem getting a car or traffic at all. And I've been there where their security is long. Cause the other thing I realized, she's like, oh, I've got pre-check. And I was like, well, I don't. So when we got there, I was like, I'll see you later. And I just ran. And then it was totally fine. And we were actually there early. So it made me feel stupid for freaking out, but it's like Murphy's Law. If I hadn't.
Right. And also it doesn't matter that it was fine because you had so much agita before you got there. Like it's, right. It's not the actually making it. It's all the stress leading up to that.
Yeah. And,
agita, by the way, from the Roman agita.
Yes.
Airport stress.
And then, so this is the cherry on top. We flew Southwest. We forgot to check in. So we were the very last people to enter the plane. So we just sat wherever there were seats available. And I was in the middle of a row.
You're flying the plane, ma'am.
Yeah, I was like, ugh, I guess.
But it's only, I would lose my mind 40, again.
45 minutes. Yeah. You could do, it's so easy. And so I'm sitting in the middle and there is a woman in front of me with very, like, noticeable bleach platinum blonde hair in like a fancy updo, and she's got really fancy earrings. And I clocked that, and like the woman next to her had like really cool nails. I noticed all of that, but
you're,
I was like,
you're a bit of a detective. You're like, there's certain clues. What's the story here?
This story is not me being a detective, actually, because then I proceeded to just like listen to my audiobook and close my eyes. The plane was stuck on the tarmac longer than expected, but somehow still like landed almost exactly at the correct arrival time. Like it's such a short flight. It's crazy.
Right.
But maybe 20 minutes to the end of the flight, Tess was sitting in the middle seat, sort of like across the row from me and one back. So she would not be in my eyesight at ever.
But you had clocked where she was sitting.
Yes, I clocked it. Mm-hmm. But I happened to look at her and she was like,
She was guiding the plane in.
Yes. And I was like, what? And she's like, it's Erica Jane. Erica Jane is one of the more notorious housewives from Real Housewives of Beverly Hills.
People are just everywhere.
I know. And so I was sitting directly behind Erica Jane the whole time. And so then I was like, I stopped listening to my audiobook so I could like eavesdrop. But the sound of the airplane, I really couldn't get anything. I could tell it was her voice. Because she's like, is it her? And apparently she had been trying to flag me down for like 10 whole minutes like a psycho. And I just never looked her way.
That's really funny. Because you see people like that on the plane and you're like, what the fuck is wrong with that lady?
And so it was her. I could tell it was her voice, but I couldn't make out like thoughts or ideas. You know, like I recognized the sound of her voice, but I couldn't eavesdrop well.
It's funny to think about her like she, okay. So she's in
the middle seat.
I was going to say, so she's in the middle seat. But also I'm just imagining that like, she's just between two people who never met her, and she's one of those people who talks to people on the plane.
Yeah.
So she's like, I'm just a housewife. Like, I'm a housewife in Beverly Hills. Does that mean anything to you? Do you clock that?
No, I think they worked for her.
No, of course. I'm just thinking in terms
but
of.
But I like she opted for the middle seat. That feels like very non diva behavior. Or maybe she wanted to be protected from the masses or something.
I bet she's not 6 foot three, 375 pounds like I am.
I don't. She looked very thin. She looked too thin.
She is 7 feet tall.
Right. Like in real life, I was like, she is too skinny. But fully wearing like stage makeup. I think she has to at all times because someone might want to take pictures with her. So Tessa's like, what do we do? Like, again, this is all just like silent film acting across the airplane. And she's like, we have to get a picture with her.
Let's start a middle seat union on the flight.
And I was like, okay. And she's like, when we land? And I was like, yeah, like not now. And so we landed and it was so cute and funny and communal because we flew into Burbank.
Great airport.
Best place in the world. The least stressful part of the trip.
Right. It's basically like a roadside stand at the Burbank airport.
And they're like nice to you.
You could just walk up and stroll onto the plane. Yeah.
And it's, I personally love it. It's like old fashioned where you get off the plane onto the tarmac. Like you're outside for a little bit.
Yeah.
And I like that. You get to feel fresh air for a second after being in a plane, especially after a long flight. And so we both get out and then we're like zigging and zagging and running through people to catch up to Erica Jane. And this is what I thought was really cute is other women around me were like, is it really her? And I was like, yeah. They were like, go, go, go. Like they were like rooting for me. And so, we have pictures with Erica Jane. I could share them with you.
Yeah, please.
But like couldn't look worse if I tried. And that was my trip to Vegas.
By that time, you'd been wearing the shitty jean shorts for as long as you wore the comfortable jean shorts.
Right, correct. Let me see if it. But that is my checking in. What is going on with...
Well, I don't have a lot going on. But I just want to tag your story with a few things it made me think of. So I'm just going to go through some of the things you discussed and see what I can...
Wait, hold on. I do have the picture available, and I'm going to do that.
Okay.
Wait. How come sharing is like different every time? I don't understand.
By the way, what happens in Vegas apparently does not stay in
this
Vegas.
This wasn't in Vegas. This was at the Burbank Airport.
No. I'm saying the whole thing did not stay in Vegas.
I maybe didn't say everything.
Well.
I maybe had discretion with some of...
Yeah. Some of the activities.
Oh, you won't let me share. Can you let me share?
I guess so. This is where it gets hard because that means I have to figure out how to do that. Is that it?
Let me see.
No, this is...
No, you... never mind. We'll do it another time.
Folks, welcome to the long shot.
We'll fix it at post.
Most technically proficient.
What if I just pull it up?
Here we go. I got it.
You did?
Mm-hmm. There it is. Oh my god. Erica Jane. Yeah. That's it. She's Welcome to the United States 2023. She's one of the real housewives of Beverly Hills.
Yeah. And she's like pretty much like legit a very bad person.
Well, it seems to be the flavor of the show.
The one who married the lawyer who like defrauded victims of plane crashes and stuff.
I don't keep up on the Real Housewives, but it sounds true to, it sounds on brand, true to form, you know?
She she has like a pop music career. That's what she was doing in Vegas. She has a residency there.
That's what they all do. They all have a thing. Like, they're like, I'm going to do the reality show because then I can be the host of ABC News every Saturday night or whatever. Like,
that's the only way to get hired.
Yeah, it's all, God, this whole fucking country at this point, everything is just a grift for people to figure out a way to make more money. So, you know, Real Housewives, I don't think so. They're not real and they're not housewives. And they don't even live in Beverly Hills.
Here's another one.
Right. Oh, yeah. That one I like.
Anyway.
She is tall, by the way. She's tall.
She's tall.
Middle seat, not easy for tall people.
But she has a pop career, and like, her songs are things like It's Expensive to Be Me.
That's great. That's really, you know, that really gets you right in the what was it called? Wristlet? Or what
was it? Yes. So Tess needs, that was the other thing. In the morning. Mm-hmm. He sounded like such an asshole, and I was not trying to be. But I was like, oh, I'm so glad that today I get to just use a purse. Ugh. And Tess was like, yeah, that must be nice. And I was like, no, I meant like not holding a tiny little clutch all day long, like something I could just like put over my shoulder. And she's like, I don't have that. I had to throw mine away. And I was like, it's like one, you can use mine. So it worked out. But I wasn't trying to be shitty, but it sounded like I was being a real asshole.
Yeah. That was not cool. I did recently watch, God, I hate this shit. I watched an episode of Real Housewives of New York.
The new season? I haven't seen any of it, so you're more caught up than I am.
Well, I don't even know at this point, but they're awful. They're all awful. But again, and I know I've talked about this before, what really drives me crazy is the after show with Andy Cohen. Like, worst interviewer in the history. Like, and he's on every night. There's a show with Andy Cohen, and he's just like, okay, so Erica Jane, better direction, up or sideways? And she goes, sideways. Okay, do you like days or nights? Nights. Okay. Which letter makes more sense? P or Q? Like, there's just, what are we talking about? Ask a follow-up question. Why is one thing better? Why? Anyway, I get angry about things. So I wrote down a couple things, and I cannot read my own handwriting, which is, sorry.
Time to wake up for your nap.
which is great. But here's two quick things, and this will be my checking in. I am not a pool at a hotel person.
Because it's gross?
No. Like, I know there are people who are like, let's go to this hotel and hang out at the pool. We can sit on the chairs and be the
you've heard of people. You're having a conversation with one. I've heard of people who
We can get a Greek salad and have
tickle our feet.
Yeah. Balsamic dressing. But I know that's a thing of like, and I know LA, maybe I'm sure there's other, like Vegas obviously is like this too, but like, there's all these hotels in LA that have pools, and people are like, we're going to go party at the pool on Saturday afternoon or whatever. Mm-hmm. And that's just never been my thing. And I think a lot of them are like what you're talking about, where it's like, this is just for guests of the hotel. So if you're not a guest, you can't get into the pool, or you're not supposed to be there, or you're going to get in trouble.
Right.
Which for me, I would just not be interested, because I'm always so worried about getting in trouble for shit like
that.
Right. Because I'm a dumbass. But I was with somebody not long ago, and we went to this hotel, and we were just like having lunch there. But then there was a pool, and this person was like, I love hanging out at hotel pools. I love partying at hotel pools. Let's go to the pool and party at the pool. What's okay, I'm going to get to that next. I'm going to talk about that in a minute.
I'll bring it up when we're talking.
And the story I'm going to tell, I think I've told on the show before, but we have new listeners, so who cares? We have two new listeners that I'm aware of.
Hello, welcome.
Yeah. So we're at this thing, and the pool has a wall around it. Like, you can't get in to where the pool is, and there's a gate, and you have to have your, you have to get in somehow, right? So this person that I'm with is like just giving me the lowdown of like, okay, this is what we have to do. We're going to stand near the door, and we're going to wait until somebody comes. Just pretend we're talking to each other. And then when somebody comes out, we'll just grab the door and we'll go in and nobody will notice. Like, this long, elaborate plan.
No, I, as you're saying this, I realize a lot of being fun is being sneaky. Like, you have to be like, yeah.
Right. Well, but so that's why, it, yeah. So I ruined it because.
You're like, what's the plan?
No. After like 10 minutes of like, then I'm going to pretend I'm from France.
And you're going to touch your hat three times.
We don't speak English. And just give me the hi sign and I'll bend down to tie my shoe and you sneeze.
Duck and roll.
Yeah. And I was just like, or we could just use this key to get in. And I had a key to the hotel that I had gotten earlier for a variety of other reasons. Like, just being at the hotel, I was like, I'm going to go to the front desk and get a key. So I had a key. And it was like mind blowing to this. We weren't staying
To do it like the actual way that you're supposed
just
to
like,
do it.
Just like that I had a way to get in without having to do all that shit. And I was so pleased with myself. I was like, we don't need to do all that bullshit. Let's just use this key I have the way people who are allowed in do. So I guess I won that round. And then here's the other thing I'll say about the shirts is...
Should I bring them up?
Yeah. So you guys are all wearing matching shirts. You're adults, so it's fun and silly, right? Standing on ice cubes.
You can see the ice cubes, right? Yeah.
The first time I ever went to a concert, I went to see the Cars with my best friend... in high school, we took the subway from his house in the Bronx down to Times Square, or I can't remember. Anyway, we walked through Times Square to get to the Port Authority to take the bus out to the Brendan Byrne Arena, which was at the Meadowlands. As we were walking through Times Square, now this was the early 1980s. This was not Disney Times Square. This was stab you in the neck and
grimy place.
So we were walking through Times Square and two guys just fell in on either side of us. And they were both like walking right next to us. We were like 14 and they were walking right next to us. And they were like, you guys got to give us your wallets. And if you don't do it by the end of this block, we're going to fuck you up. And
oh
so,
God.
Yeah. So we just were walking and, you know, we weren't going to give them our wallets. So we just kept walking. We got to the end of the block and they disappeared.
Oh, wow.
So that was the end of the story.
That must have been a really scary.
Well, we didn't know what was going to happen. And we weren't like, we didn't speak to each other. We just
kind of. It's crazy that you guys both made the same choice. Yeah.
But then we went to the concert and we both bought t-shirts, the same shirt with the Cars on it. And they were like those 3/4 length baseball t-shirts.
Yes. That's a good look. What color and sleeves?
I think it was red. That's what it was in my memory. We both had red. And the next day, and I think it was like maybe late fall, early winter. So we both had jackets on. We both wore our t-shirts and we went to mass. We were like good little Catholic boys going to Catholic school. So we went to mass together. And when we got to the mass, we were sitting in the back of the church. And this was his home church. He had been an altar boy there and stuff. And the priest came up to us and was like, will you guys bring up the gifts during the processional? So we had to bring the I don't know. There's a thing where they transform bread and wine into the body and blood of Christ. Yes.
I've heard of it.
Transubstantiation. they turn into edibles. but so the priest was like, will you guys bring up the gifts? We were like, sure. But because it was wintertime, we had these jackets on. We took the jackets off. So both of us had our t-shirts on. So we walked up to the front of the church, and this was his neighborhood in the Bronx, where all the other kids at the mass were the kids he had grown up with, all these fucking tough kids from the Bronx. Mm-hmm. And there we were, like the Bobbsey twins, walking up with our matching t-shirts on. And so when we got out of the church, it was just we took a lot of abuse that was very unpleasant and was not the kind of things that nice people say to other people. And things that you would get in trouble for nowadays if you made those kind of slurs to people. Now, I wrote down a bunch of other things. Mm-hmm. I was trying to not make it look like I was writing. So I was going, so I was like this and writing at the same time.
So it's like
completely illegible. It's like there's just nothing there.
I was hoping that you would be like, does this word mean anything to you? Because I like that game.
No. It's one of them says purse and phone, I think, but I don't even remember why I thought that was significant enough to.
Like for that. You personally.
Yeah. I don't know what that was about. But anyway, here's another thing I'll say, and then we can get into whatever else. We talked last week about taglines for my short. Now, by the way, today, 1 year ago today, is the day we shot this short film.
That's so crazy.
It's thank you, but it's also not done yet, which is sort of insane, you know, that like it takes so long. And part of it is because it's so low budget and people are doing a lot. Right. I'm getting like, so many people to do favors for me, which is amazing. Right, so you're not
the top of the priority list.
Right, and it's just taken a really long time. But that said, I'm excited for it to come together. But we talked about taglines last week because we were trying to do a poster for it. And so I wrote a bunch of taglines which were fucking terrible, like just the worst. Did I send them to you?
You did.
I sent the ones I wrote. Okay. So I sent the ones I wrote to you. They were awful. And then I sent them out to a few people who sent me just a bunch of them. And a lot of the ones people wrote were great, but I think yours were my favorite out of all the ones I got. Yeah.
That is huge.
I'm not 100% sure yet what I'm going to use, but I really liked a couple of the ones you sent. And I was like, this is really good because it's funny and it also has to do with what the movie is about. So thank you.
That makes me super happy because I also want to like, you know, walk the walk. I say like, oh, I could do that. Like I work it.
And
like,
you've never even seen the short, right?
No, I have not. Right. But I've heard tale, and you.
Oh, I love to spin a yarn on a cold winter night down by the fire. Let me tell you about a short film I shot last year. Everybody have a seat and grab a mug of ale because this one'll buckle your bones. But yeah, so anyway, thank you for that. I appreciate
it. Oh, that honestly makes me so happy.
But that's it. That's all my checking in.
All right, great. I think this is a time that we like to call parting shots. And this time for parting shots, I'll go first.
Whoa, you tricked me.
Double trick. I will say, so not drinking in Las Vegas feels like Black Diamond, extra points, like
just because like everybody's just all about
extra
that.
Credit. Yeah. And I did it and I wasn't tempted, but also not drinking.
There's that thing they say in AA where it's like, if you keep going to the barbershop, you're going to keep getting a haircut. And Vegas is like, just everybody there is shaving their head and giving themselves a mohawk.
There was a point, it was like so late. It was so freaking late at night. And we passed a tattoo parlor and Sarah and Tess were like, should we all get tattoos? And I was like, but they were serious. Like the next morning, they were like upset we didn't get tattoos. I was like, I'm not going to get my
first. Had you been drinking? Had you been drinking, you would have come back with a tattooed Hitler mustache on your face.
But but not drinking, and it was so hot that we were hyper aware of like dehydration that we were just like downing waters and Gatorades. And point is, I left Las Vegas feeling the best I've ever felt in my life leaving Las Vegas. Like I woke up bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, and that was great. I recommend. Usually I feel like I got hit by a bus is what
Right. Well, I mean, that is a big difference between when you're drinking and when you're not drinking, is you wake up and you feel like a human being. You don't spend half the day going, oh my God, what the fuck happened last night? I need a drink to get over that, you know?
Totally.
It's so, Yeah. So anyway, welcome to Sean and Amber's Sober Podcast.
Well, I do drugs, but...
Cali sober.
Yes, very California sober. But that is my parting shot. It was quick and sweet. Sean, over to you for your parting shot.
Yeah, I'm gonna take it down a bit, a little bit of a bummer. But I just want to. I'm not gonna be able to talk about this anywhere else, really. So my friend George died yesterday. He was a guy that I went to college with, and you know, he'd been very sick for a long time. He had lung cancer. But, you know, young guy with a kid and whatever. And I guess a couple of quick things about George. The first thing is, when I was in college, I played rugby for a couple semesters. Not well. It was in my sort of Jamie-esque everlasting
trying to figure out your identity
to be cool. Yeah, to be like, oh, these guys are cool. I can be one of them. And of course, I couldn't.
The next thing, you're wearing like a cowboy hat.
I'm in the Village People. They wanted nothing to do with me. They gave me the award. I've talked about this before. They gave me the award for the guy who thinks he's funnier than everybody else or something like that. Which was true.
Yeah.
It was true. I knew I was, so it didn't bother me, you know, and I knew that's why they were giving it to me. But anyway, everybody on the rugby team had like a crazy nickname, like, you know, Mouthballs or, you know, Snacking Kid or whatever. And, So one night we were at a party.
Little Caesar.
Who was a giant guy from Greece. Right. But one night we were at a party and we were playing some drinking game that I don't remember. I think it was called Biz Buzz, as I recall, where you just – I mean, drinking games are the stupidest thing. It's like, if you want to drink, let's just drink. Why do we have to – you know – but you have to count like one, two, and then like every number that can be divided by three is biz. Every number that can be divided by seven is buzz. Every number that can be divided by 44 is
math. Fun.
Right. So we're playing that game and I don't have any patience for that kind of shit. And so I was terrible at it, which meant that every time it came around to me, had to chug a full beer. And I was just getting worse and worse and worse. And George was in the circle with us and he could not believe how bad I was at this. And he was like, you are such a bubblehead. And that became my nickname, which I hated. Like, I really didn't, because people would be like, bubblehead, you know, and but the only person that it didn't bother me from was George. If he said it, it was fine. It was just because he didn't mean it in like a, I don't know. It was just something about the way he said it that wasn't the same as everybody else. So that was one thing. And then another thing about George is so I had been out of school for almost a year and I was trying to figure out, you know, what I was going to do with my life.
Still working on it myself.
Oh, me too. But within that year after I got out of college, I had traveled a little bit. I had worked at a deli for a while. I had been a cab driver for one day and felt that was just so
that seems really
awful.
Hard.
Yeah. I didn't know
that you were a cab driver.
I mean, I had to get a license for it and, you know, all this stuff. And then it was in my hometown. I was like, oh, it's in my hometown. I can drive a cab my hometown. I knew nothing about my hometown in terms of like where to go. You know,
you think you do, but it's like the very specific.
People were screaming at me on the radio going, 23, where the fuck are you? You know, that kind of stuff. And I was like, I don't need this fucking bullshit. I worked as a restaurant host for like one day. That was at a restaurant called Pizza Hut. Anyway, I'd done all these things. And another friend of mine's father was the assistant superintendent of a school district in Manhattan. And he was like, why don't you think about teaching for a year? And then you have a year where you're getting a salary and whatever. And the end of that story, which I'm sure a lot of people know, having listened to this podcast for a long time, is that I did indeed become a junior high school teacher for 6 years after that, thanks to this guy's father. But when I was thinking about it, I went to a party somewhere or something, and George was there, and this came up, and I was like, I'm thinking about doing this. And he was like, oh, I'm actually teaching at a junior high school out in Queens. Do you want to come and spend the day in my classroom? So I did, and it at least did not scare me off from doing that. He had an interesting life. He then, after he taught junior high school in Queens, he went to Japan to teach English for a number of years. And while he was there, of course, as you are wont to do when you're in a foreign country, he learned Japanese. He was fluent in Japanese.
Wow.
And he came back to the U.S. and started business school. And he got a call from somebody connected to the New York Yankees who said that they had just hired a pitcher named Hideki Arabu and they needed a translator. So he became the translator for this guy's for the New York Yankees. So he was in the clubhouse all the time and hanging out with those guys for years after that. And in fact, by the time he died yesterday, he still had a title with the Yankees as like executive director of Pan Pacific organizations or something like that. But that meant, so this was like 98, 99, the Yankees were winning the World Series. And I still remember I was texting our old pal Eddie last night because Eddie and I went to the Yankees, the parade down at Wall Street after the Yankees won the series in 98. And we were just standing on the side of the road with all these lunatics who were out to see the parade.
Right.
And here comes this float and there's two people on the float. And one is Hideki Arabu, the Japanese pitcher. And he's just kind of sitting in a chair as millions of people are just screaming, you know. And I think he was ultimately a sad guy. Hideki, unfortunately, ended up committing suicide. Ultimately.
Oh, my God.
But he was just kind of sitting there, whatever. And meanwhile, there was George on the float, who was his translator, standing up and like waving to
like everybody. He was the star. Yeah. And everyone's like, who's that guy? That's so cool.
And then he came to LA at one point a number of years ago and we had breakfast together downtown and he showed me his World Series ring. I tried on his World Series ring, which was very cool. But the point of all of this is I knew this, but, you know, when somebody dies, people have things to say about them and they didn't interrupt the game, but during the Yankees broadcast, one of the guys in the booth had been on the team while George was there, and he talked extensively about him on air and talked about what he was like, and you know, lots of people writing in on Facebook and stuff, and it became very clear that everybody just loved this guy and had nothing bad to say about him. And it just makes you think. Like I know that won't be true when I die, but like to try to emulate that and just be a person that that people care about and respect and love and admire and are happy that they knew is something to aspire to. So that's it.
Definitely. I'm so sorry, Sean.
Yeah, it was sad. I do have a picture of him and his son wearing Sean Conroy Disagree t-shirts somewhere.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I think this is a good place.
I mean, I wish we could end on a silly architecture note.
We always can. This is a good place to wrap it up.
Yeah.
This has been The Long Shot. If you haven't already, subscribe.
Like this. Yeah.
Add a rating, review. Mm-hmm.
iTunes. Rate it on iTunes. That helps us in the algorithm.
We want to
beat the other.
It's not called iTunes anymore. It's called Apple Podcasts.
Forget what I said.
But yeah, we're trying to win. So
I just want to beat that fucking other long shot podcast. Duncan Robinson.
There's no way we are though, right?
No. They have millions of listeners. We have like 11.
But 11 strong, like romping, stomping dynamite.
They write in every week.
Yeah. And thank you for that. Comment on YouTube, like, tell friends, and tell us what's going on with your life.
Yeah, or tell us what's going on in Vegas. How do you get into pool parties?
Yeah, great question.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Bye.
Oh, fuck.
You still have to do that.
God damn it. The fuck?
Your caffeinated touch and the things that I've chosen not to think of very much have gotten all their hands on me. Now I'm in double dutch, and there's something in the nothingness, but nothingness is such. Such a something or nothing or something or nothing. So who let the time I let sneak by under the fence and over my head and back underground?